Well, blessings to you all. I would encourage you to grab your Bible. If you didn't come in with one, that's quite okay. We have Bibles spread out throughout our seats, or you can use your phone as well. There are two kind of sections of Scripture that we're going to be journeying through this morning. I encourage you to go ahead and turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 16, and then you can kind of hold a finger or a post-it note or whatever into Acts chapter 2. So we're going to be diving a little bit into 1 Chronicles and then a little bit into Acts chapter 2. Over these next 3 weeks, as we get into the holiday season, we're going to spend 3 weeks refocusing, reminding, kind of recentering on four very, very important words here at Church in the Falls. Our vision is to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to make Him known. But our mission here at Church in the Falls is we embrace God, we encourage each other, we equip the church, we equip one another to go out and to engage the world. So for the next 3 Sundays, we're going to be recentering, refocusing on those 4 big words. 3 weeks, 4 words. This week we're going to be talking about what it means and what it looks like to embrace God together. Next week, we will do encourage and equip. And then the 3rd Sunday will be engage, because that's going to be close to voting time, because that'll be the Sunday closest to it. And engaging the world in voting is an important thing for us to pay attention to and to be mindful of. So that's the direction. Then we'll have a few weeks of thankfulness leading up into Thanksgiving, and then we'll have the Advent season that will draw us into the new year. And we are going to start 2023 by diving into the Gospel of Luke. That will lead us all the way into Easter. And then after Easter, I got more stuff in the back of my mind, but that'll come. That'll come. That's enough kind of direction for you all. 1 Chronicles. The book of Chronicles, kind of the skinny of what Chronicles is all about. It's a narrative history of the people of Israel, telling stories about God's people that's filled with stories of successes and failures, ups and downs, seasons of clarity and seasons of confusion, seasons of what the Ecclesiastes author challenges us to pay attention to within our own lives. Very quickly, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time... Can you go back, Miss Carmen? You're a little quick on me. I'll just go there in my Bible. A time to tear down and a time to build. Next one. A little slow on it. There we go. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn. I'm going to go to Ecclesiastes 3. And here's the truth of the matter. It's not Ms. Carmen's fault. That computer has a mind of its own, as we are all very much well aware of. And sometimes it does what it wants to do, no matter who's back there. So, a time to mourn, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What the Ecclesiastes author reminds us is about life and of all these different seasons that all of us go through. And part of the discerning when it comes to reflecting on all those passages is, which season are you in? And that's where prayer comes. That's where discerning comes. That's where having conversations with fellow brothers and sisters comes. That's why being a part of a small group could be a very, very good thing. There's a small group plug. Because you're in conversation with others about these seasons that we all go through in life. And for Chronicles, a theme of Chronicles is these people going through similar situations. They've been in exile, and now they're back in the land, and they are asking really, really difficult questions. They are saying things like, okay, this has happened. We went through the exile. We were in Babylon. We've gone through the Persian stuff. We're going back into our homeland. Okay, God, that happened. I didn't see it coming. My parents didn't see it coming. My grandparents didn't see it coming. But God, I am believing that you did see this coming. So how do we move forward in this new season of life? And as we bring it home to ourselves, specifically within our own church family, how do we move forward in this new season, in this new direction? We are going through something new. Okay, God, now what? So briefly this morning, we are going to listen to what Chronicles and what Acts chapter 2 invites us to pay attention to. And there is one thing, if there's anything that you take away from this morning, I hope that we and I hope that you take away from this teaching, is that no matter your circumstances, no matter what you are experiencing, no matter what season, no matter what you're going through with your life, set your mind, set your heart on seeking God with all of your heart. Because God is seeking after hearts that are seeking after Him. Set your mind, set your heart, set your focus, set your telos, set your direction on seeking after God. Two of the most significant terms in Chronicles just so happen to be seek and heart. They are linked 11 times. The word seek occurs 54 times, most than any other First Testament book. And heart 64 times. Only Jeremiah and the Psalms use it more often. So the chronicler is encouraging the people of God during a challenging season, during a changing season in their own lives, to seek after God with all of their hearts. Because God is seeking after hearts that are seeking after Him. A foundational theological application of the book of Chronicles is this. God seeks seekers. God embraces those who are seeking to embrace Him. And that is a very, very important thing that we are about here at Church in the Falls. And we have done it well, and we are going to continue to chase after that. Each Sunday we embrace God together. And each Sunday we challenge and we encourage and we try to equip one another to pay attention to how not only can you embrace God on Sunday morning, but how can you embrace God on Monday morning? How can you embrace God Monday afternoon? How can you embrace God on Thursday morning when you're like, one more day? I got one more day. That Friday's coming. That Friday is near. So we're going to be focusing in on that and centering on that. And again, this is something that we take very, very seriously here. It is something we chase after. And it is something we will continue to take seriously. It is something we will continue to chase after. We will continue to be a people who are chasing after the heart of God together. And we're going to encourage and we're going to equip one another to do that as couples, to do that as individuals, to do that as families. Faith at Home is going to continue to be a very, very important talking point because we're trying to insert it into the culture here at Church in the Falls. To where moms and dads and aunts and uncles and grandmothers and grandfathers and wherever you may be in your family dynamic, you pay attention to the rhythm and the structure of your life and you begin asking yourself, how can I influence my kids, my grandkids, my niece, and my nephew to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to make Him known. And we're going to do that first and foremost by embracing God together. We are a people committed to God by living into and living out of passages such as 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 10, that will be on the screen. And if you're in 1 Chronicles 16, I'm going to start in verse 8. Give praise to the Lord and call on His name. Make known among the nations what He has done. Sing to Him, sing praises to Him. Tell of all His wonderful acts. And this is what we do when we embrace God. We glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. In verse 11, look to the Lord in His strength. Seek His face always. We're going to be chasing after passages like 1 Chronicles chapter 22 in verse 19. Now devote your heart and your soul to seeking the Lord your God. Commit, devote, get your feet in the sand and stay put in seeking after the Lord with your whole heart. 2 Chronicles chapter 15 is another passage we're going to pay attention to, just very briefly. And though, yes, these are one-liners, and yes, there are bigger contexts going on here, but I think you can get a sense and a feel and a heart for the direction that the chronicler is inviting its hearers to pay attention to. As a community, because these words were written, these words were spoken, these words were declared in community. And at the same time, how do you hear them personally? 2 Chronicles chapter 15 in verse 12. They entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their ancestors, with all their heart and their soul. And if you look down a few sentences in verse 15, all Judah, this community of people, all Judah rejoiced about this covenant, this oath, because they sworn it wholeheartedly. They gave their all, their energy, everything. They committed to this wholeheartedly. They sought God eagerly, and God was found by them. So the Lord gave them rest on every side. It's passages like this that we chase after on Sunday morning when we embrace God together. We want to leave here with I can rest in the Lord. I've been encouraged, I've been convicted, I've got a new direction, I'm on the same direction as I was when I started, but I'm more on fire for it. When we embrace God together, we are trying to live into and live out of passages like this in Chronicles, where we recommit to the covenant, the oath that we've made to the Lord, that there is no other God but Lord God. There is no other Messiah but Jesus Messiah, alone, no one else. And we embrace God together to recommit, to go out, to chase after the heart of God together so that we can, as individuals, couples, families, etc., chase after the heart of God on Monday through Saturday. This is what we are about. Each and every Sunday, we are chasing after the heart of God together. To be a people who are chasing after the heart of God by embracing God in song, by embracing God in prayer, by embracing God in communion, embracing God in Scripture, and embracing God in our relationships with one another. So now we're going to flip over to Acts chapter 2 very quickly. So I encourage you to find a place in Acts chapter 2. One spotlight application from Acts chapter 2 that we are invited to see, that we are invited to live into, to live out from, is that this is not just something that happened back then. This isn't just something that God did back then at a particular place and time, and then after the New Testament was written, God stopped working like that. You got to work really, really hard to make that application. You got to really stretch some stuff in order to kind of just stop it right there. But God is still moving. God is still at work. And what Luke is inviting the hearers of Acts chapter 2 and Acts as a whole to pay attention to is God did that then, and God is still doing it now. Are your eyes, are your ears, are your hearts open to it? And maybe one really, really important question for us to pay attention to is, are your calendars open to it? The one thing about small groups and small group fairs and these things that we're trying to encourage people to pay attention to is it's going to require a paying attention to your calendar. It's going to require you to be honest and reflective about your calendar. And I encourage you to pay attention to that as you walk through the small group fair. This is something in Acts chapter 2 that God is still moving towards. So Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 42. They devoted themselves, sounds an awful lot like 2 Chronicles chapter 15, right? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, embracing God, and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. What I was just reminded of in reading this passage is our Wednesday night Bible class has been journeying through Romans. I think we started last January. And every week, just chugging away, dissecting passages, having good conversations, having funny conversations, but enjoying one another as journeying through Romans. And what dawned on me this past Wednesday when Lawrence was baptized is we have had four baptisms connected to that Wednesday night Bible study in some way, shape, form, or fashion. And it's connected to people being together, opening the Word of God together, and saying, we're going to talk about this. We're going to wrestle with this. We're going to ask good questions. We're going to do our best to come up with decent answers that we can then go out into the world and begin living out what we're learning about from Romans. And it's just this beautiful thing here. Everyone was filled with awe. I'm filled at awe at what God will do when people meet and start talking about the Word of God together. I am simply in awe. One challenge, one question that I want to bring to your attention. How do you see your church family? Honestly, how do you see one another, your spiritual family? Is this something that you see as something you go to once a week or a couple times a month? And granted, some of you have schedules that allow you to be here once or twice a month. And you are committed to being here when you can. Kudos, awesome. We will continue to encourage you because your schedule, you can't do anything about your calendar. Your calendar kind of is what it is, but you're here when you can be here. And we are grateful for that. And we encourage you to keep that up. Because you can imagine, it can be really easy to get your schedule off focus, right? It can be really easy to get your devoted to thrown off balance because your Sunday mornings are filled with this responsibility or this job or this career. So for those of you that are here because your schedule allows you to be here every other week, thank you. Thank you for living out of Acts chapter 2 and devoting yourself to being here when you can. And at the same time, Our challenge is that may you choose to see each other as a people, as a family that you are devoted to. That you stubbornly persist not to give up on. Because that's at the heart of what it means to be devoted. I have been a Tennessee fan my entire life. And this year, it's been a good year. There hasn't been a Saturday where I've wanted to crawl in a hole. Not yet. That Saturday's coming. I know it's coming. We're not talking about it. But I now am experiencing what Ohio State fans have been experiencing for a really, really long time. And that's you. Amen. Somebody said amen. But you stubbornly persist. You stubbornly persist not to give up on one another. You are devoted to embracing God together. This picture in Acts chapter 2 isn't just a dream for God's selected few, but a reality for all God's people gathered together in Jesus, filled with the Spirit to chase after, to live into, and to live out from. And what I love is how Luke uses devoted in verse 42 and then the same word in verse 46. I encourage you, if you have actual paper Bibles, to underline that word in verse 42 and to underline that verse and that word in verse 46. They stubbornly persisted to be the family God was calling them to be. And what Luke is showing us is that the church family that started in Acts did not come easily. It came by devotion. None of this was easy. When you pay attention to all the weird names that you get in the early part of Acts chapter 2, they came from Mesopotamia, they were Parthians, they were Medes, they were Elamites, they came from Judea, they came from Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, all these different places, all these different backgrounds, all these different historical contexts, and God brings them together. And a part of God bringing them together ended as a result of their devotion to one another. That they stubbornly persisted not to give up on one another. It started with a people who said that they would do whatever it takes. They would realign their lives. They would realign their schedules. They would realign their priorities around the person of Jesus. And one another, to the glory of God and for the good of each other. As we close, I want us to see very, very quickly a result of this devotion. And it's what Luke says in verse 43. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. But it just wasn't the apostles that this was happening. It was because of God working through the apostles that this joy, this awe, this changing was occurring and was happening. God was at work doing what God does, healing, restoring marriages, breaking addictions, breaking down stereotypes, bringing reconciliation and forgiveness and joy and laughter and fun and memories. In other words, God was bringing about spiritual transformation in the heart of the community and in the hearts of one another. God was, God is, always will be about the work of forming people, forming those who are willing to devote their lives to Jesus and devote themselves to one another. And it will not be easy, but it will so be worth it. So be worth it. This is what happens when God shows up. And our God is at work in this room right here, right now. Our God will be at work in the homes, in the living rooms, later on today, later on this week. For those of you that are worshiping with us online, God is at work in your living room, in your room right now. If you're listening to this later on, it doesn't mean somehow God is disconnected because the sermon's over or Sunday's over. God is still at work. Because this is what happens when God shows up. I would invite the Arise team to come on up and get ready for our final song. One small group plug. I think we've destroyed that nail today and hammering it. One small thing about our small groups is, guys, this type of stuff cannot happen in isolation. The vision of Chronicles, the vision of Acts chapter 2, it cannot happen in isolation. It cannot happen by yourself. So please hear these last two questions in a encouraging and also a challenging way. As we sing this song, of course, if anybody would like to come forward and to receive prayer, I will be down here to your left, my right. Our elders will be in our prayer room waiting to receive anybody. If any of you have any questions about baptism, you've seen Lawrence's baptism and you're like, that looks awesome. I want me some of that. We would love to have conversations with you about what baptism is all about. If you've been visiting here with us for a while and you would like to have conversation about what it means and what it looks like to be known as a member here, we'd love to sit down and talk with you and listen with you. But two very, very important questions as we sing this final song that we are encouraging and inviting you to pay attention to, especially as you go through the maze in the fellowship hall of the small group fair. And the first one is this. In what areas of your life do you believe God is calling you to be more devoted to in embracing God here at CITF? In what areas of your life do you believe God is convicting you, challenging you, encouraging you, opening up your eyes to, about ways in which you can be more involved in embracing God here together? And the second question, in order for you to pursue that, what things do you need to be less devoted to? Because if you're going to take on something, more than likely you're going to have to take off something with your calendar, with your priorities, with your schedules, with your shuffling of things in your life. So, if God is placing that on your heart, if you are hearing that this morning, you also need to pay attention to what God may be calling you to be less devoted to. And what am I willing to let go of to pursue what God has placed on my heart? Two very, very important questions that I hope are challenging, that I hope are encouraging, as we sing this final song, and as you make your way through the maze that's in the fellowship hall. However we may serve you, however we may listen to you, please take advantage of this opportunity as we sing together this final song.